This is the John Gambling Show on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
All right, good morning, everybody. 10 minutes after 8 o'clock. It is a Friday, and that does mean Mayor Michael Bloomberg joins me. Hello there, good morning.
Hot.
You got that right.
I was in Washington yesterday morning, and it was very, very hot. Here it was very hot. and it's supposed to be hot today, tomorrow, and then sort of break. But all kidding aside, Con Ed's done a great job so far.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Any reports of...
No, you know, there's always...
some brownouts.
In a normal day, there's always something going wrong. A tree comes down, takes down an overhead line, or something underground happens. But this, we think, will be the most stressful day on the electric grid in recent history, maybe ever. And what we need is people to turn their air conditioners to no cooler than 79. If you can do that, it's a little bit uncomfortable. But not having electricity would be a lot more uncomfortable. And when you're not at home, don't run the air conditioner. It takes a few minutes to cool off a room when you come home and turn it on. You save an enormous amount during the day. The good news also, incidentally, is that an awful lot of people have painted their roofs white. If you fly over the city, and coming back from Washington yesterday, I think, I noticed just got to be 75% of the flat roofs in the city, people have already painted them white. Painting a roof white will reduce, in a five-story building, the heat, the electric bill by something like 20%.
For a coat of paint?
Yes.
Wow.
Because it just reflects off the sun. In the winter, you'd say, well, the sun doesn't get through then, but there isn't much sun in the winter. It's in the summer. That's where the big, big savings are, and you only give back a small amount in the winter. It also makes some sense to run your dishwasher and washer-dryer in the evening when there's a lot less
demand. Does the city have a program where they contact businesses to reduce?
Yes. We're working on that. We've already taken a lot of city functions and move them over to generators so that, you know, for
already today,
we've been doing it for a few days to just lighten the load. You know, we have the generators. It's probably cost you a little bit more because you're creating your own electricity rather than buying it off the grid, but it just, you know, the city is a big consumer, so that helps. And yes, we contact big companies and big buildings and ask them to cooperate, and most do.
All right. You got a big problem up at the water treatment plant in
Harlem.
Talked
to Cass Holloway this morning. One of the motors back on, that should be pumping in a few, an hour or something like that. There were no injuries first thing in the fire. There's another engine that they think they'll get back on later today, and that's all they need is two. They have five. One's been out of service for renovation or renewal, whatever. And then there was this fire. Why? We're still investigating that. But we should have both back on. In the meantime, the water that we pumped in doesn't have a very big impact, but there are beaches that we've suggested that you don't go to. They're not closed today, but from today to Monday, we're recommending that you don't swim in a handful of locations. South Beach, Midland Beach, Cedar Grove Beach in Staten Island, and Seagate in Brooklyn, because that's where but you know, if your kids want to go in the water, take them to a park with a sprinkler. It can be fun. It's something different.
I think the fire just underscores the fragileness of the immensity of this city, that when something like this goes bad,
yeah. On the other hand, it goes bad very seldom.
Well, that's true.
You know, I mean, whenever we do an enormous amount, in other ways to phrase it, you have 8.4 million people living together. When you turn the faucet, the water comes out. The water is clean and safe to drink and tastes good. When you flush a toilet, the sewage goes away. And other than in two situations, it stays out of the waterway. Remember, we used to dump everything in the water. Today, we don't do that. We used to take snow off the streets, dump it in the river. We don't do that anymore. Today, we melt the snow and put it into the sewer system, and then it goes to the waste treatment plants. Why? Because there's a lot of salt in the on the streets.
And the waste treatment purifies or takes most of that out.
That's exactly right. But there's always the potential of an accident, which fortunately, like a fire, which happens very seldom, or you get an enormous quantity of rain. The sewer systems 100 years ago were built such that it takes the waste from your house and it takes the waste from the streets. And it runs both through the sewage treatment
plant. You wouldn't build it that way if you were building it.
No, because if you have this enormous downpour, the system can't handle it. And so everything in there goes out into the water. You'd just prefer to send just to the water as a backup what's coming off the streets. But it's, you know, the system works and we are much more environmentally conscious than we've ever been and do a better job. Our rivers are cleaner than they've been in many years. They really are making big progress in cleaning up. In fact, one of the problems is now that they've been getting cleaned up, some of the insects that come in and eat the wooden piles are coming back on fish or crabs or
whatever it is,
snails, which means you got to spend some money to fix those up.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to see the city of New York really has done a good job because this water treatment plant problem, again, we are such an old, here in the Northeast, such an old group of cities along the Long Island Sound, Jersey Shore.
Yeah, sure.
And,
all Long Island, you have the same thing.
We haven't gotten to it. I mean, it's so expensive.
Keep in mind, I think it's not fair to say only New York, but New York does some of these things in terms of trying to get ahead, and lots of other cities just don't even bother.
So, again, just to recap, you think that the sewage going into the river should stop sometime today?
Our hope is sometime today. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we're starting to clean the water somewhat before it gets there because you can do some things. I'm optimistic that it'll be back on stream by the end of the day. And you'll have another one, hopefully another motor back later because we need to, not too soon because you like to have backup.
Absolutely. All right, Mr. Mayor, sit tight here. Let me take a break. Also, let me remind everybody, if you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, now is the time to get in line, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. Coming right back.
John Gambling and Mayor Mike, News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs.
Beatles Bumper Music Friday here on the John Gambling Show with Mayor Michael Bloomberg, 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. You saw Mr. McCartney last Friday night.
Last Friday night, and he did the same thing that he did last year or the year before at Shea. He did 40 songs. He never left the stage. There was no song that he wasn't playing a guitar or the piano and singing in. And most times you go to a concert, the star is on for some of them. They have a backup group. You know, he goes off and takes a break and, I don't know, changes and takes a shower. McCartney, and he did it last time, stays there, and you get your money's worth with this guy, and in terms of performance,
amazing,
he's the tops.
For a 69-year-old guy, a guy that old.
I Googled him while we were there. He's 3 months younger than me.
Yep.
Born in June of 42, and I was born in February of 42, maybe.
Yeah, I heard it was a fantastic. I didn't hear any complaints. No complaints whatsoever.
This guy is a real showman. And it was fun being there. And the people were excited and that sort of thing. His fiancée, I guess they haven't gotten married yet, was sitting with us, Nancy Chevalle. And, it was fun. You should go.
I wish I had the opportunity.
He's our generation. I remember going into a building when I was in college in my junior year, and there were a whole bunch of people standing in the corner around this little black and white television, 14, 16-inch television that we had for the whole school. And they were looking at these four guys from Liverpool who needed a haircut, and I had no idea who they were, nor did anybody else in America, practically. And, you know, that was the beginning. It was on the Ed Sullivan Show.
He looks, you were there and saw it, but he looks like he so much enjoys what he does. I mean,
I've actually gotten to know the guy reasonably well, and he is a very nice person, cares, has been very helpful when we've asked him to do something for the city. Always willing to pitch in. Loves New York. you know, a Brit going to live in London, I'm sure. That's his home, or someplace in England, maybe Liverpool, too. But he's a great entertainer, nice guy, and doesn't show any signs of slowing down. This guy could do this 10 years from now, and you'd say, you know, the same thing you say today.
Well, I think we all certainly hope.
Before
that
I forget, let me just point out, wastewater stuff, if you're fishing in the water, don't eat the fish. Let it go back in if you're any of our waterways here. And you know, just watch the signs. We'll put up signs if it's not safe. Just don't go in the water. And also, because it is so hot outside, this really is. I mean, we always talk about it, but this time you really just have to pay attention or you can have a disaster. We've got 500 city cooling centers. Call 311. If you have any weakness, dizziness, immediately call 911. You know, if you're exercising in the middle of the day, it's just not smart. Wear very light clothing. Drink an enormous amount of water. You probably can't drink too much water. And don't overuse the air conditioner, but you should be in an air-conditioned place. And don't leave children or pets and, you know, in cars or that sort of thing. It's phenomenally. It really is. You can very rapidly get seriously injured or die.
Is there a big usage of the cooling centers?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you know, pretty good crowd.
I think so.
I'm not sure how you define a pretty good crowd, but
you know, if it's there, if you need it, in this day and age, an awful lot more people have air conditioning at home than used to. I mean, when I grew up, nobody had air conditioning, and the schools weren't air conditioned, and the buses weren't air conditioned. And when I came to New York, the subways were certainly not air conditioned. I mean, I remember I'd get on at 66th Street, switch the 14th Street, just literally dripping.
Yeah, no, well, that has changed, and that has been a huge. Speaking of the MTA, Mr. Walder is going to be leaving.
Very big loss for the city. It is, and he didn't get pushed out. He just got a phenomenal job. Called me yesterday to tell me. The governor is really now got to find somebody just as good, and I'd be happy to help the governor, and haven't talked to him yet about it, but I certainly plan to. MTA is something that, you know, they don't get any credit. Everybody complains with everything that's wrong. Nobody gives them any credit for things that are right. And keep in mind also that this guy has had to deal with the fact that the Albany legislature has starved their capital budget, and the politics of raising fares is impossible to win. The unions were jumping up and down with joy, the TWU, at least that's what the paper said, that he was gone. He just kept the lid on. We don't have the money. I mean, anybody that thinks, if the unions think that the next guy coming in is going to give them a big raise, they don't read the newspapers. They don't understand the temper of the times. But this guy is going to run a company in Hong Kong that I've visited. They run they own the subways in Hong Kong. They own a lot of the land above the subways. That's where their real revenue comes from, to subsidize the subways. They also own some subways in Europe.
And Australia as well.
And Australia. And this is just one of the big transportation jobs. And it goes to show, I've always said, the two appointments that Governor Patterson made that really have changed the city, Jay Wallner, and also the executive director, Chris Ward, of the Port Authority.
Now, we're not talking apples and apples, MTA to MTR, which is the company that Wallner is
going
to.
Theirs is all brand new and modern and safe. And
has no history, has no antiquation.
Well, that's also true.
But it is a private company that has got a business model that can work probably better than a government model. Again, you can't change what New York is.
Can't change what New York is, and I think it's too easy to say the private sector can always do it better. There's some things that you don't want to turn over to the private sector because they're much too important. Police, fire, and you could argue mass transit as well, that just if it stops, you know, a company can say, well, we're not going to pay that, shut it down. Until we have a labor negotiation, we can't afford that. You can, you know, a private company may be able to get away with that, and their customers suffer a little bit. But, you know, okay, that's the world. You deal with a company. You have alternatives. In the case of police, fire,
there's no Avis. There's no number two.
That's correct. So that's one of the things. And I think the other answer is government doesn't have to do it poorly. what the public should do is to demand that the government does it intelligently. Either the Post, the News had a, I think it was the News had an editorial about Jay this morning, and they said, you know, his job, he'll probably get well over $2 million. Working at this new job. He got paid $350,000 here, and the public was outraged they got paid that. If you want talent, you have to pay for it. That's it. And the city and the state and agencies and the federal government compete. Now, there are ways to get people to do things for a lot less money. A police commissioner works for a lot less than he could make in private sector. A lot of, you know, our three new deputy mayors all gave up enormous amounts to come to the city. But there is, you have to be realistic about hiring people, paying them, management cost. Management is a dirty word in government sometimes, but no organization works without good management. And one of the criteria, for example, we raise the salaries of teachers. All the city budget in the last 10 years, all agencies except teachers on average went up 28% total over 10 years. Inflation went up 33%. But education, we raised 105%. Why? Because the teachers weren't getting paid and they were leaving for Nassau County and other places. And if you want good teachers, you have to pay them. Never as much as they'd like, understand that, but you have to pay them competitively. Well, just you have to do that in lots of things, and you have to do that in management. Not everybody has the luxury of working for a lot less to, because they get joy out of the, being in the public sector and making a difference. And, you know, we politicize everything in the MTA. We criticize everything. You can't, the problem with government agencies is not that they're government agencies, it's the way we treat them. We don't let them have control over the size of their workforce. We don't let them have control over capital, and in many cases, we don't fund them, and they depend on government funding. So I don't think it's fair to, and nobody's more of a capitalist than me, but it's just not fair to say private sector is always better than public sector. In some cases it is, in some cases it isn't, but before you go giving credit to the private sector for everything, you got to say, are we treating the public sector the way we should be treating them, intelligently and fairly, and standing up to the handful of people who complain about everything?
All right, Mayor Michael Bloomberg with John Gambling here at News Talk Radio 710 WOR. We'll take our half-hour break, 831, 800-321-0710. We've got a couple of lines open, 800-321-0710 for your questions. Here comes Joe Bartlett.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show. News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way.
Bumper Music Friday here on the John Gambling Show, and I'm sure the mayor every once in a while screams a little help.
Yeah, every once in a while. It'd be nice to have the Beatles get together. Yeah. I had dinner a month ago, with John Lennon's wife.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yoko Ono.
She's fun. I first met her. We dedicated something, this little part of Central Park with a garden.
Strawberry Fields.
And so I was on the stage with her, and we chit-chatted before, and I thought it'd be fun, so I invited her to dinner, and she was fun to be with.
Well, you're hanging out with all the big
folks.
Who knows?
Yeah,
good for you.
But they're all my age, John. That's the trouble.
Well, maybe that's a good thing, for at least for you.
I'm sure Yoko is in her 30s.
Yeah, absolutely. So, listen here. A judge ruling yesterday against the UFT and the NAACP.
No, I would rephrase that. A judge ruling for the kids.
Okay.
This was
on the closing of the 22 bad
close
schools.
Isn't what we do. It's retaking these schools and over a few years changing the management and the teachers and the programs in schools that aren't working. One of these schools has, I think it was like a 3% proficiency rating in English and 9% in math, and the suit wanted to keep that school open. This is just so ridiculous. But last night, the courts rejected the request for a preliminary injunction to prevent the schools from moving forward. It's 22 schools, and we want to co-locate 15 public charter schools and city buildings. We co-locate schools all the time. 15 is a trivial percentage of the number. You move schools in and out to adjust for the needs of the community and the number of kids we have. A lot of these are theme schools that get moved in where the theme is really just to get the child interested in school. But the court agreed. The court said, you know, if the failing public schools are not closed, students are subject to substantial educational environments, which obviously cause them considerable harm. And there are thousands of families whose children have been in limbo because of this lawsuit, and now we can give them a clear direction. This is a big victory for the kids. And I think those that brought the suit should be ashamed of themselves.
Well,
there's no other way to phrase it.
They claim, the UFT claims, that they are going to continue the fight to for fairness, is what the words
That's such an outrage. I respect unions for trying to get better conditions and more money for their members. That's what they're there for, but not to hurt the kids or the public. And this clearly does. This is just, there's no excuse. And the law says that you have to go through a process. Last time we lost the battle because the law said, oh, you didn't do it exactly right. You know, we used it with blue ink rather than black ink or something in the application. It was something basically trivial stuff like that. This time we took a lot more care. We dotted every I. We crossed every T. They still sued us, and the court said enough. This is, you know, if this goes on, if you were to wait another year to do this, it's a whole nother year of kids, whole generation of kids. That generation, they never catch up. It's just, we cannot keep doing this of fighting everything. Now, every reform that you make isn't a good one. Some work and some don't. But you've just got to change the focus to doing what's right for the people. And I think the same thing is true in Washington. This politics over the raising the debt ceiling or balancing our budget, not spending money we don't have. We just got to stop all this stuff and start thinking about the people. And if you take a look around the world, you wonder why Jay Wallner's going over to Hong Kong and their system works. It's a good example of it. You know, and you want good subways, if you want good schools. We used to be in the top 10 in every subject in schools. Today, we're lucky to be in the top 30 in every subject. I mean, it just, time after time, in terms of we're mortgaging our future or selling our future or throwing away our future. And it's all, it's just wrong. And people have got to stand up and say to their elected officials, I don't want this anymore.
Well, I think they do, but I think you're absolutely right, but I don't know what happens. I mean, we have seen so many times where the same people are always voted back in again and expecting different results. It's just
that's somebody joked. It's like having a bottle of spilled milk, putting it back in the refrigerator and thinking it's going to get good again. it really is a good analogy. But we are making progress, having said that. The schools are dramatically better. I mean, somebody wrote something the other day. I just want to tear my hair out. Oh, all of the improvements were illusionary. It was just lying with the numbers. No, the state, for whatever reason, the regents changed a definition of what they call proficiency. I don't think we should have proficiency standards because even Nobel Prize winners go back to school and keep studying. There's no level where you should say that's enough. And a parent says, well, how much is my child have to learn? There is no answer to that. I'm sorry, parent. They're going to have to learn all their lives and their jobs. If they're going to keep their jobs, people in the real world, adults, they learn all the time. They have to change with times. And in this case, we're not doing it.
Sunday, you've got a long line of folks that want to get married.
After the law. The process is the following. You need to get a license from the city. If you want to get married, the day you get the license, you need a waiver from a judge, which I gather are normally automatically granted unless the judge looks and says, oh, you know, both of you are drunk. Come back. If you still want to do it in 3 days, do it, but I'm not going to. So short of that, it's pretty much automatic. And then there is a ceremony which you can have an official, a judge, or even the mayor can marry people, or religious leaders get the privilege of marrying people. They may add religious practices and ceremonies to the civil one, but a marriage by a clergy person is from a technical city legal point of view, is the same as if you get married by a judge. Judge doesn't add the religion, the clergy does, but they both do the civil part. So there's three steps. And on Sunday, regardless of whether it's a dual sex or a single sex or male-female, how would you phrase it, marriage, you go to one of the city bureaus in all five boroughs. You get your license. A judge will be there to give you the waiver unless you show up drunk.
Right.
And then you can either stay there and get married or go off to someplace else to someone who is authorized. Typically, it would be a clergy person or a friendly judge who's at home and wants to do it at home, and you can do that and get married. So that's the process. We calculated how much we thought we could handle, something like a 765 people in all, between the five boroughs. We told people to apply for a lottery. About 850-odd did, which was less than what we thought, but great because we then just expanded the number, and we didn't stick to the promise of 765. We just said, okay, it was another 50 or so. We'll do those as well. We'll just work a little harder. And to balance the load, there were a handful of people that were included, but they had to go not to the borough of their choice, but to another borough where the demand was less.
Have those 800 have all been notified?
Yeah, 850, I think it is, and everybody's been notified, yes. And a couple of people, they'll have to schlep to another borough because that's where we have the capacity. But at
I
least
have this vision of long lines.
We don't think so. We think, number one, it's a day when people get married, they tend to be in a good mood. If they're in a bad mood that day, they got a problem. Maybe they should rethink this whole thing.
Go home and sleep on it.
Right, and it's going to be hot, and so, you have a lot of fun, and you joke about the lines and that sort of thing. I don't think and they'll probably be stretched out throughout the day. But I did take one couple out of the lottery and said that I would marry him. I've married my oldest daughter. I said I would do my other if she ever asked me. Who knows? And I've done it for former mayors, I said. So I married Rudy Giuliani, who made a very, very generous donation to the Gracie Mansion Conservancy. And I nothing but good things to say and was very helpful in that transition and that sort of thing. So I was happy to do that. And then the press, of course, asked David Dinkins, would he use me if he remarried? And he said he'd been married for 50 years, probably didn't need somebody. And they asked Ed Koch, who said he put my private number into his wallet just in case an emergency. And so I said no others, because there's so many people that want to get married. How do you say yes to one and not to the other? And there's just a limit to how much we do. The ceremonial part of the mayor's job is enormous.
But you're going to marry two of your
staffers.
And
so I said I would make, in this case, one exception, because I thought it sends a message to this. This will get a lot of publicity around the world. It says New York is open to everybody, that in New York you can practice your religion the way your religion asks you to practice it or not. But you don't have to abide by somebody else's religious beliefs. The government should not be in the business, I believe, of telling you who you can and can't marry. If your religion tells you don't drink, that's up to you. If your religion says don't have single-sex marriages, that's up to you. But nobody should impose their religion on others. And so the legislature and the governor together did this, and that's great. Chris Quinn deserves a lot of credit, incidentally, for lobbying as hard as she could. And I will do this one marriage of two commissioners who work for the city, or one's the senior policy advisor, does all of the immigration stuff and anti-gun stuff and infrastructure. And Feinblatt's one of the inner circle of real key people in City Hall, 10 feet away from me. And Jonathan Mintz, his partner, is head of city agency that prevents consumer fraud and that sort of thing. And they've got two, I don't think they're teenagers yet, but, under 10, I think, daughters who are, they're very lucky to have these two as parents. And they're going to have it'll be a nice ceremony. The cameras will photograph it. There'll be some drinks. We're doing it, Gracie, and the two spouses are paying for the whole thing. So it doesn't cost the city any money. And then I'll go home.
Now, you will hopefully have your traffic plan with your computers and everything to speed your...
To speed us home. Yeah, it's interesting. Jeanette Sadikon has been working on a lot of things. This one is fundamentally we've taken from 2nd Avenue to 6th Avenue, maybe 10, 15 blocks north-south. I forget, in Midtown, where the traffic's the worst. And there's somebody sitting over in Long Island City looking at cameras and statistics and computers from microwave readers and video cameras. And we also read easy passes. We don't record your number and charge you, but as you go by, we can tell you entered the zone here and you left there, so we know how fast traffic's moving. And based on all of that, the guy sits there and can throw a switch, and he can leave the light on green a little bit longer or leave it on red a little bit longer and green the other direction to help move traffic. It's not going to solve all the problems, and the better traffic moves, the more traffic you're going to have come in.
Is the report in the first few days?
I haven't heard any complaints. It's also you can't tell because it's the summer. So you got to be very careful here. One of the things we do is we try to get real numbers, not what you think and not what you see, because you can't, for example, you're looking at traffic on one side of town. You don't know what it's doing on the other side of town. So, but one of the advantages we have now with taxis, with GPS, we know how long it takes to go from A to B in the real world, not driving directly, sometimes going around to beat the traffic, sometimes cutting here, sometimes cutting a corner there. But the real world, and it's thousands and thousands of taxi rides every day, so the computer can average out and figure out whether or not. And you'd look at traffic in one area, let's say where you closed the road to traffic or where you have this traffic management system, and you compare it to an area where you don't, because in the summer the traffic's different or the economy may be better or worse, and so you want to take out those factors and look at the individual thing. But you're just going to keep working at it.
Has the governor given the okay to the new taxi plan?
No, but the legislature still has one thing to do, so it hasn't been sent to the governor yet. But I believe the governor will look at this and sign it. I've had conversations with him. I'm not worried about that. You know, for as long as I can remember, maybe since taxis were invented, four boroughs and Manhattan above 96th Street fundamentally is not served. A very small percentage of the taxis are there. And now because of the GPS, we know where all the taxis go. So this would, for the first time, give 80% of the people in the city access to taxi service. How can anybody be against this?
Can't. Before we run out of time, or not run out of time, but get to our telephone calls with the questions from the folks, the $100 million to build an engineering school, is the phone ringing off the hook?
We have enormous number of schools who both in the city and from are outside of the city and the rest of the country and from overseas who desperately want to come here. And the $100 million is very tiny in this world. What some countries will do, they will pay to build a whole new campus for a school and pay all their expenses, because they know if the school is there, then the kids come out and they start jobs, start businesses, and that creates jobs. And, you know, if you take a look, there's a lot of businesses out in Palo Alto, California. Why? Because they get out of Stanford, one of the great engineering schools, and there they go. In Boston, there's a lot of businesses there because they get out of some of these schools like MIT, and then they go and they create jobs. And so what we have is we've asked for proposals. We've got an independent commission that'll pick the winners, or one winner, maybe two.
I was going to ask you how you're going to do that.
Maybe two, but certainly one. And it'll be picked independently. It could be a local one. It could be overseas. Could be from the rest of the country. Could be schools getting together in a partnership. The schools that need less money get an advantage over schools that need more. Schools that have capacity to raise funds. It costs $1 billion to do this. And the schools going to have to raise the money themselves. So schools with big alumni and good organizations and fundraising will have an advantage. But this is and Bob Steele deserves all, he and Seth Pinsky deserve all the credit for this.
Is there a time frame?
We want to get this going before we leave office, and the winners will be, I think, in October. But
it's
in this fall. This fall, yeah, in this year. And then it'll take a while to go. And one of the places we have to move a hospital, which isn't being the process of being moved anyways, this will help us pay for that hospital, actually.
All right. Lots going on. We've got a bunch of folks that have got some questions. We will get to you next here on the John Gambling Show.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg with John Gambling on News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
All right, we continue here. 4 minutes now before the hour. Let's get right to the telephones, and that means we're going to get to Jay. Jay, you've got the mayor. Go.
Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I wanted to ask you, you know, with this tough economy, I see most of these city agencies, like the police and the parks and this and that, but they're all driving Japanese cars. Why can't they buy American cars?
Well, the truth of the matter is, a lot of them are starting to use the Nissan Altimas, which are made in Tennessee, and replacing the Ford Crown Victorias that are made in Canada.
Canada, okay.
The taxi that won is made in Mexico but fitted out in New York. The Ford that was in contention was going to be made in Turkey, and the third entry in that one was a Turkish company, which was going to make it in Turkey until they thought it would make a little bit more sense, and they said, oh, we'll build a plant in Brooklyn. Can you know how long it'd take to build an automobile plant in Brooklyn? But anyways, the bottom line is we have an obligation to get the best cars no matter where they're made, Jay, and if we are buying cars from overseas, maybe we should look and see why we can't improve our industry. But anyways,
all right, I think this is this Jersey? Hello, Jersey.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I have a question regarding a very high bills of homeowners who use a sprinkler system and water their lawns. And in Long Island, this is much cheaper because this is just like about $600 for every 2 months.
Well, Jersey, let me just quickly, because we're running out of time. The bottom line is the Environmental Protection Agency that runs the water supply doesn't have a lot of extra money. We are struggling as fast as we can to improve our sewer system, make sure the water is clean, buy land upstate so we protect the water supply, doing all of those kinds of things. One of the things we're fighting, and Senator Schumer and Gillibrand are being very helpful, the EPA asked us to cover one of the reservoirs, cost $1.6 billion, I think, because they're afraid some birds flying overhead might defecate. The bottom line is we can treat the water with ultraviolet. The water comes from reservoirs where ducks and fish and deer and hunters and everybody live. You know, that's the sort of thing. The reason water is so expensive is partly because we want to have great water, and we do, partly because sometimes we're forced to deal with other with government agencies.
You let me switch some tweets?
I mean, one of the tweets here is they want to know about how we feel about transitioning away from foreign fuels and how we can get real investment into alternative energy sources. One of the things my foundation did, I was down in Washington yesterday to announce a $50 million grant to the Sierra Club to help end coal-fired plants over a period of time, and then replace it with natural gas, which is not perfect, but better than coal by a lot, and then down the road, solar and wind is getting better with better technology. But there's a lot of focus on closing nuclear plants. Nuclear has not killed one person in the United States and very few around the world. Coal-fired plants kill 13,000 Americans every single year. And we're worried about nuclear? 13,000 every single year. So we've got to start focusing on helping the companies that have coal-fired plants not go out of business, not to let the people go out of the jobs, but transitioning to a better fuel, and that's doable. And so the Sierra Club's been a leader in doing that, and I'm going to help finance them.
Okay, because getting rid of nukes is just not a good
idea. We also don't have an alternative.
Correct.
To it. Like one-third or 30% of the power that New York City uses comes from nuclear. 25% from Indian Point, 5% from other nuclear sources,
because
we buy it from other states.
Well, fortunately, that is cranking, because we need all the electricity we can get today.
Certainly today. Please don't run your air conditioner if you don't have to. Don't go into a beach. Don't go in the water if there's not a lifeguard there. And please stay cool. And it might be nice to stop in and help others.
All right, Mr. Mayor, thank you very much. Have yourself a good weekend. And 9 o'clock, here's Joe Bartlett.